Imagine handing the live operational schematics of the UK's national energy grid over to an external contractor.
Right. A contractor with a photographic memory, basically.
Exactly. I mean, they can cross-reference millions of pages in seconds. They work at lightning speed. But, there is a catch.
There's always a catch.
Yeah. They occasionally hallucinate critical engineering details. They outright refuse to explain exactly how they process your data. And they might secretly be taking instructions from a malicious note hidden inside one of your own log files.
Which is a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
But that is the literal reality of integrating frontier AI models into critical national infrastructure today.
Right. And for you listening, especially if you're a senior cybersecurity leader navigating this, the threat landscape is mutating way faster than any governance framework can actually track.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the asymmetry of this arms race right now is unprecedented. We're watching adversarial capabilities just expand exponentially with every new model release.
While our defensive postures are, what, forced to move linearly?
Yeah, linearly at best,
Yeah.
because we are dealing with systems that fundamentally alter the operational attack surface of literally every enterprise they touch.
Well, our mission for today's deep dive is to cut entirely through that commercial hype, right? We want to examine the genuine mechanical security implications of these frontier developments.
Exactly. No benchmark leaderboards today.
No, we are bypassing the leaderboards entirely. We're pulling directly from a highly curated AI intelligence briefing dated June 2, 2026.
It's a great source. Really gets into the weeds.
It does. We're going to look at real-world attack surfaces, safety postures, and the pretty harsh regulatory reality facing CNI operators. We'll be breaking down the shift in unstructured data handling, specifically looking at things like Simon Willison's pasted file editor concept.
That's a huge one.
Yeah, and we'll dissect the strategic public policy advocacy of major labs like OpenAI to see how their industry maneuvering directly impacts your security posture.
So if we jump right into it, the most critical shift documented in this briefing is really the evolution of the context window.
Right, because it's moving from just a cool novel capability to a massive operational vulnerability.
Exactly. I mean, we've moved so far beyond structured, easily monitored API calls. Frontier models are now designed to just ingest, hold, and synthesize entire libraries of unstructured data in a single active session.
And the briefing highlights Simon Willison's analysis of that pasted file editor concept to illustrate the shift. Because this isn't just about users having a bigger text box to type in, is it?
No, not at all. It's a fundamental change in how vast quantities of enterprise data are moved and processed. Tooling like the pasted file editor, it normalizes the instantaneous ingestion of massive, completely unstructured data dumps.
Right.
So imagine a network engineer. They can highlight gigabytes of messy multi-format data. We're talking system logs, PDF architecture diagrams, proprietary codebase snippets, raw regulatory text.
Just a massive jumble of information.
Yeah, and they just paste it directly into a third-party UI. The model is now capable of parsing and synthesizing all of that instantly. It basically treats that chaotic text dump as a complex, structured file attachment.
So, in cyber terms, this is like going from slipping a carefully formatted, highly sanitized note under a door to just driving a dump truck full of mixed file formats straight through the firewall.
I love that analogy. It's perfectly accurate. The volume and the total lack of structure, it completely breaks our legacy monitoring paradigms.
Because legacy tools just don't know what to do with a dump truck.
Right. That dump truck analogy encapsulates the total breakdown of traditional data loss prevention. Legacy DLP tools, they're designed to look for specific file headers, or recognize structured data formats, or predictable patterns leaving an endpoint.
Like a credit card number format or something.
Exactly. But when a user pastes a massive unstructured blob of text into an HTTPS encrypted web interface, those legacy DLP tools often just see a standard web request. It's large, but it looks standard.
So the enterprise just instantly loses visibility into what specific proprietary logic or, sensitive infrastructure data has just left the local environment.
Yeah, it creates a massive blind spot. The CNI operator is exposing highly sensitive data to the external model provider's infrastructure. And at the same time, they're pulling the processing of that potentially hazardous data directly into the local user's web environment.
Which brings up the mechanism itself, because that's what makes it so dangerous, right?
Yes. When that data hits the model, the LLM's attention mechanism flattens it.
What do you mean by flattens it?
Well, the model doesn't inherently segregate a highly classified internal engineering document from, say, a publicly scraped error log
yeah.
if they are pasted into the exact same context window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just weighs the tokens across the entire input to generate a response. Mm-hmm. So this flattening of data provenance introduces massive vectors for misuse.
Which logically forces us to look at the evolution of model-specific vulnerabilities. Like, the briefing really highlights prompt injection and model extraction as the paramount threats today.
They absolutely are.
But you know, in the context of these massive unstructured data dumps we're talking about, we aren't just talking about a user playfully trying to trick a chatbot to break character anymore.
No, no. We are talking about highly sophisticated, indirect payload delivery. The expansion of the context window has completely changed the mechanics of prompt injection.
So the attacker doesn't even need access to the user interface to compromise the model.
Exactly. They deploy indirect prompt injection. They hide a malicious payload, just a string of text, designed to override the model's system instructions deep inside a seemingly benign third-party dependency.
Okay, wait, I have to push back a little here.
Sure, go ahead.
Because you're advocating for this extreme level of caution. But let's say I'm an incident response lead at a UK telecom, right?
Sure.
And my analyst is exclusively pasting our own internal network traffic logs into a hardened enterprise AI interface to look for anomalies. Where is the actual vector there?
It's a great question.
I mean, if it's our own internal data being analyzed, how does an injection payload get into the context window in the first place?
We have to think about what those logs actually are.
Yeah.
Your internal logs are entirely comprised of external interactions.
Oh, right.
Yeah. If you're logging web traffic or scraping external threat intelligence feeds or archiving emails from external contractors, that data is completely riddled with untrusted inputs.
So the attacker doesn't attack the AI, they attack the data the AI is going to read.
Precisely. An attacker simply embeds the prompt injection payload into a custom HTTP header, or they bury it on a web page they know your threat intelligence scraper is going to index.
Wow. So my analyst, who totally believes they are working with safe internal data, pastes that massive log file into the AI.
And boom, the LLM's attention mechanism hits, say, paragraph 4000, reads the injected payload, and executes the attacker's instructions.
So the dump truck literally brings the Trojan horse through the front door buried under a mountain of logs.
That is exactly what happens.
Mm.
And the model then seamlessly alters its output. It could blind the analyst to specific IP addresses or falsely validate a malicious process as benign.
Or I guess it could even attempt to exfiltrate surrounding sensitive data via a rendered URL or something?
Yes, all of the above. The system's fundamental inability to differentiate between data to be processed and instructions to be executed is the core architectural flaw here.
And beyond the malicious injections, the briefing also emphasizes the inherent risk of the model's own architecture, just, well, failing to align with reality.
Hallucinations.
Yeah. When an LLM is synthesizing these massive, highly sensitive documents, the attention mechanism might simply connect the wrong dots. It synthesizes data incorrectly or draws highly plausible, mathematically probable, but entirely fabricated conclusions.
And honestly, misalignment at this scale is arguably more dangerous than a direct attack.
Really? Why is that?
Because the hallucination is delivered with absolute synthetic confidence.
Ah, right. It sounds so sure of itself.
Exactly. If an AI summary of a critical incident report hallucinates a mitigation step, and an engineer acts on that summary during a crisis, the operational fallout is catastrophic.
Which is why the intelligence briefing stresses that point-in-time penetration testing is basically dead.
Completely dead. Legacy compliance often relied on, you know, an annual pentest, but you cannot pentest a stochastic model the way you pentest a relational database. It just doesn't work.
So what's the alternative?
Systematic continuous model red teaming. That is now the non-negotiable baseline for any system handling CNI data.
You have to constantly attack it yourself.
Yes. You must deploy adversarial frameworks that dynamically bombard the model with edge case inputs. You're specifically trying to force misalignments, trigger latent hallucinations, or bypass safety guardrails every single time the vendor updates their model weights.
Because the attack surface shifts dynamically, so your defense has to do the same. The technical reality here is incredibly stark. Because technical fixes like continuous red teaming or sophisticated input filtering, they cannot guarantee absolute protection against a novel zero-day prompt injection, right? Or a deeply embedded hallucination.
No, they can't. There is no silver bullet.
So the burden of defense cannot remain solely in the server room. It naturally spills over into national policy.
And that spillover is creating a highly complex governance patchwork. The June 2 briefing covers this extensively. We are watching a significant regulatory divergence play out in real time between the UK and the European Union.
And that has to be creating immense operational friction for multinational operators.
Oh, it's massive.
So let's break that down. The EUAI Act takes a very prescriptive horizontal approach, right?
Right. It relies heavily on strict risk classification. If an AI system touches critical infrastructure, it is immediately designated as high risk.
And that triggers a whole cascade of mandatory things. Legally binding conformity assessments, detailed logging requirements, mandatory human oversight protocols. And all of that has to happen before the system can legally touch a production environment.
Yes, it's very rigorous. But the UK has intentionally taken a completely divergent path.
Driven by the Department for Science, Innovation, and Technology, or DSIT, right?
Exactly. The UK framework is deliberately context-specific. Rather than creating a single mega-regulator, the UK empowers existing sector regulators like Ofcom or the Financial Conduct Authority to apply AI safety principles within their own specific domains.
So it's an agile, pro-innovation approach on paper. But if you are a CISO managing energy grids or telecom networks across London, Paris, and Berlin, this divergence is an operational nightmare.
It's the worst-case scenario for compliance teams. You are forced to navigate a completely disjointed patchwork.
You'd have the overhead of mapping a single AI deployment against the EU's rigid conformity assessments while simultaneously tailoring the exact same deployment to satisfy the UK's sector-specific agility. It must consume massive resources.
It does. And the legal and financial risk of non-compliance, particularly the EU AI Act's massive revenue-based fines, they're forcing enterprises into a defensive crouch.
And this incredibly fragmented regulatory environment is exactly why we're seeing major AI labs aggressively scaling their public policy advocacy, isn't it?
Yes. The briefing specifically cites OpenAI's published strategies on public policy here.
Right. I mean, we're just reporting what's in the briefing, but it's clear these major frontier labs are no longer just software vendors. They are actively positioning themselves as the primary architects of global AI regulation.
They are. They're lobbying for specific compute thresholds, proposing international licensing regimes, and even offering to embed their own safety standards into national policy. We have to analyze the mechanics of this industry influence objectively. Because on one side, deep engagement from the frontier labs is pretty much essential, right?
It is. The developers engineering these trillion parameter models understand the bleeding edge capabilities, the latency, the inherent alignment limitations way better than any government regulator ever could.
So their technical input is required to draft regulations that are even remotely tethered to physical reality.
Absolutely. But the briefing also highlights the inherent conflict of interest when the architects of the technology are also the primary authors of the regulations governing its use.
Right, the risk of regulatory capture.
Regulatory capture is a critical threat vector in its own right. You have to remember, frontier labs are highly capitalized commercial entities.
Sure.
Their ultimate imperative is speed to market and broad commercial viability. A vendor wants to build a foundational model that can be sold with minimal friction to a marketing agency in New York and a hospital in Tokyo. So when these vendors advocate for policy, they naturally push for frameworks that rely heavily on their own internal safety attestations and standardized benchmark testing.
Exactly. And a commercial vendor's baseline for safe enough for deployment is fundamentally incompatible with the CNI operator's baseline for secure against a nation-state attack.
That makes total sense. If the regulations are shaped to favor the vendor's commercial speed, the critical infrastructure operator just inherits all that residual risk.
Which underscores exactly why the UK strategy, specifically the mandate of the AI Safety Institute, or ASI, is so pivotal.
Because they operate as an independent evaluator.
Yes. The ASI does not rely on the vendor's internal safety attestations. It conducts independent adversarial capability evaluations on frontier models before they're widely deployed.
Which is crucial.
For CNI operators, independent state-backed evaluation is really the only reliable bulwark against industry-led policy that might inadvertently favor market consolidation over uncompromising national security.
Okay, so let's synthesize the intelligence from today's briefing, because there's a lot here.
There really is.
We are looking at an expanding attack surface, driven by massive context windows that swallow unstructured data and completely blind traditional DLP.
Yes.
We have model-specific threats, like indirect prompt injection exploiting that exact mechanism, and we have a fragmented, high-stakes regulatory landscape where commercial vendors are aggressively maneuvering to shape the rules of engagement.
And the convergence of all these factors, creates a period of extreme operational vulnerability.
So what's the ultimate takeaway for the leaders listening?
The core intelligence takeaway for a security leader is that regulatory compliance must never be conflated with operational security.
I think that needs to be repeated.
Yeah. Passing an EU AI Act conformity assessment or aligning with a DSIT sector principle does not mean your AI deployment is hardened against a determined adversary.
Which is why the briefing mandates a strict, unyielding, zero-trust approach to all AI interactions within critical infrastructure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And zero trust must extend beyond the network architecture. Huh. It has to go into the cognitive output of the model itself. The model must be treated as a highly capable, perpetually compromised entity.
Always assume it's compromised.
Always. Regardless of the Frontier Lab's safety guarantees and regardless of the regulatory stamps of approval, the enterprise must implement rigorous manual validation loops.
So if an AI synthesizes a critical engineering document or flags a network anomaly, a human expert must independently verify the technical accuracy of that output against the raw source material before any operational action is taken.
Yes. Every single time.
Which forces us to confront a massive operational paradox. And this is the final thought I want to leave you with today as you evaluate your own AI roadmap.
That's a tough one.
It is. You are implementing these frontier models to achieve unprecedented speed, scale, and efficiency, right? That's the whole point. But to secure your critical infrastructure against catastrophic hallucinations and deeply embedded prompt injections, you must enforce absolute zero trust.
You have to.
You must mandate that highly skilled human operators manually validate the AI's outputs. So the question is, when does the sheer weight of these necessary security protocols and manual validation loops completely erase the efficiency gains the AI was supposed to deliver in the first place?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. As a senior leader, how do you mathematically justify the ROI of an automated system when the security reality demands intense manual friction? Navigating this collision between absolute zero trust and the business demand for zero friction is the defining challenge of this era.
And the organizations that solve that equation, they will define the next decade of cyber resilience.
And the ones that get the balance wrong.
They'll be reading about their own architecture in a post-incident report.
A sobering thought. Keep analyzing the mechanisms, question every output, and stay secure.